Welcome to the 20th Century History Series. All podcasts are released under a Creative Commons license and are free for non-commercial use. Each podcast is self-contained and does not require listening to previous episodes. The author is Kim Sonderborg, editor is Philip Bird, and the editor-in-chief is Dr. Liam Brown. All episodes are read by Kim Sonderborg.
The causes of World War I. Did the European countries go to war because of fear or because of gain? World War I was the greatest war the world had ever seen. An entire generation of men lost their lives in brutal trench warfare. About 277 men died every hour. That's almost 5 per minute. And after the war, much of Europe was devastated. In the French village of Domont at Verdun, more than 2 shells were dropped per square meter. It was the worst experience that the human race had yet created for itself. But when the different countries all rushed to declare war on each other in July and August of 1914, it was not in despair, but in joy. In Germany, Austria, France, Russia, and Britain, the people celebrated the coming of the war, and young men rushed to enlist and go fight. Each country was sure that the war would be short, heroic, and victorious. It was going to be just the opposite. Why did everyone want to go then? This episode will investigate why Germany, Austria-Hungary, Britain, France, and Russia went to war. The main causes for the war as a whole were 4 things: alliances, arms race, colonies, and what was known as the Balkan question. Each of the main countries fighting the war, Germany, Austria-Hungary, Britain, France and Russia, entered for their own reasons. The USA entered the war towards the end in April 1917 when it was discovered that Germany was trying to arrange a joint German-Mexican front against the USA. The historical key term for this is the Zimmermann Telegram, but that is another story. For now we focus on those countries where the war was fought and whose young men were to suffer the most, the European combatants and Russia. One very successful method to analyze and understand why each country went to war is to look at it from 2 angles, fear and gain. What did each country fear enough to justify a war? And what did each country expect to gain from it? The central question simply is, did each country go to war mainly because of fear, or was it more because of a hope of gain? Germany went to war both out of fear and for gain. Germany feared becoming encircled between Russia and France. If this happened, Germany would have to fight a two-front war, something which it had feared for decades. Back in the early days of the new German Empire, the Second Reich, Chancellor Otto von Bismarck had used great diplomacy in making Germany safe in Europe. He had also set up the alliance which was supposed to protect Germany from war. The dual alliance between Germany and Austria in 1879 stated that if one country was attacked, the other would come to its aid. If one country attacked a third party, the alliance partner would stay neutral. In 1882, Italy had joined the dual alliance, changing it into the triple alliance. Italy wanted security from France, and in return, it could protect Austria from the south. The German fear of encirclement was twofold. In Europe, Germany feared having to fight a two-front war against France and Russia. And around the world, but at the time mainly in North Africa, Germany felt that it was being kept away from attractive colonies by Anglo-French and Russian alliances. We will return to the colonial disputes later. The immediate fear was that of the two-front war. Germany's hope in this case was the Schlieffen Plan. In case of war, Germany would first attack France with 90% of her troops, leaving 10% to man the eastern borders towards Russia. When Russia had finally mobilized, France should already have been defeated, and 90% of the troops would now be shipped across Germany using its formidable railroads, ready to fight the Russians. The plan rested on the assumption that it would take Russia 6 weeks to mobilize, wherefore France would have to be beaten within those 6 weeks. The Schlieffen plan did not work, but it did create a false sense of security in that it gave a hope of winning. As we can see, Germany's fear of being encircled would be justified as a motive for entering the war. For over a decade, Germany had witnessed how alliances against her became ever stronger. But Germany also hoped to gain colonies, influence, and prestige. Austria-Hungary's motives for declaring war were driven by a motive of gain, as the Habsburg Empire desperately wanted to take over Bosnia from the crumbling Ottoman or Turkish Empire. Bosnia would give Austria-Hungary access to the Mediterranean Sea. But the Serbs, on the other side of Bosnia, wanted Bosnia included in a Balkan superstate with themselves as leaders. Serbian nationalists had for years committed acts of terror against the Habsburg rulers in an attempt to be set free from the Austro-Hungarian Empire. Austria's big fear was that if the Serbs became independent, the other states in the empire would follow. The situation was very tense. With the assassination of Archduke Franz Ferdinand on the 28th of June 1914, the Serbian nationalists finally proved themselves so radical that Austria felt justified in imposing harsh ultimatums and threats of war on Serbia. Austria-Hungary's fear of Serbian nationalism was a justifiable cause for declaring war. Through the years 1908 to 1913, Serbia became increasingly aggressive and provocative. Aided by support from Russia, Austria had to do something to keep its empire together. Russia's motives for entering the war were hopes of gain rather than out of fear. Russia was firmly planted in the Triple Entente, which meant military support from Britain and France. Russia would thus not have to fight a war alone. Russia's main hopes of gaining from a war was to increase its access through the Straits of Gallipoli into the Mediterranean. Russia always wanted an ice-free port. And the Russian Tsar wanted to regain some of the status he felt the Tsarist Empire had lost over the past decades. Russia was by far the largest of all the six powers, but it was also the most backwards. Tsar Nicholas II and his ancestors had attempted many reforms over the past 50 years, but Russia still lagged behind the other powers. In 1905, Russia had lost the Russo-Japanese War and there had been a revolution. Tsar Nicholas II was able to remain in power but had to install a representative parliament, the Duma. Tsar Nicholas hoped to gain, from a war, the support and admiration he expected from his Russian subjects and to reinforce the old Tsarist philosophy of orthodoxy, autocracy and nationality, meaning that the Orthodox Christian Church would support the Tsar in being an autocrat and that all non-Russian subjects were Russified, made Russian. The Tsar saw himself as the protector of all Slavic and Orthodox Christian people, and this put Russia in rivalry with Austria-Hungary over Bosnia. The Tsar supported the Serbs in taking Bosnia from Austria-Hungary and would gain in prestige and influence both within Russia and on the international scene by hindering Bosnia becoming part of the Austro-Hungarian Empire. A slight motive of fear would be present in the fact that Austria's German ally had built up a strong army and it would take a long time for the Russian army to mobilize on the German front. It can thus be seen that Russia thought it would mainly gain from a war, and this gain would be both in international status and in boosting domestic support from the Tsar's subjects. However, there was some fear that the Russian army would be too slow in mobilizing, and when Tsar Nicholas, as one of the first rulers, began mobilizing his army, there was little chance of turning back. France went to war both out of acute fear and from an intense desire to gain. Germany had become very strong. It had built a powerful industry and an impressive army. France was afraid of falling behind and had industrialized as well. But the French army was no match for the German, and France therefore developed a strong relationship with Russia. The aim of the Franco-Russian alliance of 1894 was precisely to force Germany into fighting a war on two fronts. France would also gain from a war with Germany. In 1870, France had been defeated by Germany and had had to give up the rich industrial region of Alsace-Lorraine. France wanted to regain this region for its own industrialization process, and more than that, France wanted revenge from the defeat in 1870. It is seen that France went to war both for gain and out of fear. France wanted to regain Alsace-Lorraine, but at the same time feared a German invasion. The last of the major European combatants in the beginning of the war, Britain, was ambivalent in attitude. For decades, Britain's foreign policy had been one of splendid isolation. Britain would not interfere in European territorial disputes, but focused on building up its own colonial empire. But Britain had begun to fear German competition, both on the world trade market and on the world's oceans. Germany was the third largest world trader after the USA and Britain, and its rapid industrialization fueled its ambitions for colonies. Already in 1905 and 1911, Germany challenged Britain and France in the two Moroccan crises. Although Germany lost, Britain was sufficiently scared of German aggression. Under Naval Chief Admiral von Tirpitz, Germany in 1897, 1900 and 1906 instituted ever more ambitious navy laws, and the German navy was rapidly growing in strength. Britain had ruled the oceans unchallenged since the Battle of Trafalgar in 1805, and at its height in the 1880s had a navy twice the size of the two second largest navies combined. But this vast fleet was scattered all over the world, while the German fleet was concentrated in the North Atlantic. As the number of German battlecruisers grew, Britain built the biggest warship of modern time, the HMS Dreadnought, in 1906. But the Germans were quick to respond and launched their own Dreadnought, and a naval arms race developed when Britain responded by building the Super Dreadnought. By the summer of 1914, Britain had 29 dreadnoughts, while Germany had 17. The dreadnoughts were the super weapons of the time, much like the nuclear weapons of the Cold War. The money spent on building and maintaining them were a drain on both countries and would lead the public to believe that a war must come, since so much money was being spent. Apart from economical, colonial, and naval competition, Britain feared a new European superpower which would invade Belgium and block off the ports leading to Britain. The British thus went to war when Germany invaded Belgium, claiming that the Germans had violated the 1839 Treaty of Madrid, in which the European countries supported Belgian neutrality. Mainly fear drove Britain to enter World War I, but this fear was a drawn-out, lingering fear. It was not an acute one. Britain wanted to keep up its traditional policy of balancing out the European powers. Apart from the inter-European strategic fears and hopes of gain from the various powers, colonies played a major role in the growing hostilities among them. As we have seen, Germany believed that the only way for her to gain colonies, her place in the sun, as Kaiser Wilhelm said, was through war. At its height in the 1880s and 1890s, the British Empire covered 25% of the Earth's surface and they ruled 33% of the Earth's people. The most profitable colonies were India, Hong Kong, and East and South Africa. France ruled over a vast West African domain, as well as French Indochina, Laos, Cambodia, and Vietnam. And the Dutch held minor but strategically valuable colonies and trading posts in the Far East. Germany had come too late and had a smattering of less valuable African territories and a few Chinese strongholds. Most notably, the province of Qingdao in China, which is today famous for its beer. But Germany thus reacted strongly when France tried to take over Morocco in 1905, resulting in the first Moroccan crisis. Kaiser Wilhelm visited Morocco, where he made a speech supporting Moroccan independence. The French were furious. An international conference was held in Algeciras in 1906 to solve the problem. All the countries supported France. The only country to support Germany was Austria. The Kaiser was humiliated and angry, but he was also wary. The Anglo-French Entente, the Entente Cordiale, from 1904 had proven stronger than he thought, and when Britain and France included Russia in the Triple Entente of 1907, things could hardly get worse. Yet in 1911, the French again wanted to extend their control over Morocco. Kaiser Wilhelm claimed that this threatened German trade and demanded all of French Congo as compensation. He went so far as to send a German gunboat, the Panther, to Agadir, claiming that he would need to establish a naval base there to protect his traders. France and Britain did not budge. Germany got some land in Central Africa as compensation, but France and Britain now began patrolling the Mediterranean to keep the German fleet out. As we can see, colonies were a major contribution to the outbreak of war. Germany hoped to gain colonial territory and did not expect to do so without a war. France and Britain feared a German expansion into the Mediterranean and extended the Entente Cordiale into the Triple Entente by allying with Russia. The final major cause for World War I was the so-called Balkan question. As previously mentioned, Austria and Russia both had interests in Bosnia, which had until now been ruled by the crumbling Ottoman Empire. So while Germany wanted colonies, Austria hoped to add Bosnia to its empire, thereby gaining better access to the Mediterranean. Austria feared that the neighboring Serbia would gain control over Bosnia and create a Serbian superstate. Russia wanted to regain some of the prestige lost over the past decades. Tsar Nicholas II saw himself as the protector of all Slavic people and would therefore support Serbian claims. The first Balkan crisis came in 1908 when Austria simply took over the provinces of Bosnia and Herzegovina. Serbia and Russia protested, but backed down when Germany announced that it would support Austria. This made Austria very confident and Russia very angry. Tsar Nicholas II was determined not to give in again and enlarged his army. In 1912 and 1913, there was a series of wars in the Balkans. The Serbs came out as the most powerful of the Balkan countries. Austrian fear of a Serbian superstate was heightened, and the Austrians now looked for a just cause for a preemptive strike on Serbia. The opportunity came when the young Serbian nationalist, Gavril Princip, shot and killed the heir to the Austrian throne, Archduke Franz Ferdinand, while he was on a state visit to Sarajevo. The Austrian government received confirmation from Germany that they would support their brothers in any decision, the so-called blank check, and declared war on Serbia. Russia, fearing a German attack on its eastern border, mobilized. Germany declared war on Russia. Germany now had to defeat France quickly in order to transport their army east before Russia would have mobilized. This was the Schlieffen Plan. When Germany invaded through neutral Belgium, Britain declared war. World War I, the Great War, had begun. As we can see, the various combatants went to war for both fear and gain. The various causes of the war, the alliances, the naval race, the competition for colonies, and the Balkan question, interlocked the countries in a network of conflicts. Tension between the countries rose over decades, finally exploding into a frenzy of declarations of war from all sides in July and August 1914. Should we identify the main cause of them all, it would have to be the Balkan question. For decades, the Turkish or Ottoman rule over its European suzerain states had become ever weaker, prompting the surrounding European powers to try to gain those territories. At the same time, the Triple Alliance and Triple Entente locked their members into situations where they would have to support each other if one country became involved in armed conflict. The naval race between Britain and Germany had been followed by a military build-up in all the main powers fighting the war, and the public expected those armies to be of use for something, thus adding to the notion that war was inevitable. The Balkan question was impossible to solve satisfactorily in a peaceful manner, as neither Austria nor Russia would back down. All these slowly growing long-term causes turned into war when Archduke Franz Ferdinand was shot in Sarajevo, and suddenly the world was at war. World War I greatly affected all the combatants, who suffered huge losses in men and equipment. The societies underwent complete change as women entered the job market to produce ammunition and equipment for the fighting. And in the end, three empires fell. The Austro-Hungarian Empire, the German Empire, and the Russian Tsarist Empire. This will be discussed in another episode.
This concludes this episode of the 20th Century History Series podcast. Music for the intro and outro was made by Andrea LaRose, while the music in this episode was made by Los Perdidos. To download more of these podcasts or to leave a comment, please visit www.historypodcast.net. Thank you for listening.